Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet, podcast, radio, technology land, whatever, however you want to term where you are. Hello. This is John Stanko. As the announcer said, your host today, your sole host. I'm going solo today. And you know, I've been rethinking how I have done blog radio, and had a friend talk to me about the importance of podcasting, which is what this is, but it's part of a network, and I think it's I've used it for many years and really appreciate it, and it has exposed me to an audience of people around the world who can access the shows if they're interested in the topic and if they can find them. So I'm going to continue to pursue guests, but if it doesn't work out, then at least once a week I will be on to talk about something that's on my mind and on my heart, and I will put it out there and see how the Lord wants to use it. And I can, when I consult with people or when I talk with them about social media, I try to tell them, don't pay attention to the numbers. The numbers in some ways mean everything, and in some ways they mean nothing. And so this is just something else I want to do, and yet it may say that 47 people listened or downloaded the show, but I don't know. One of those could have been a group of 100 people listening to it. So God has set me free over the years from the numbers. I can remember one year I was working for Integrity Music, and I did a time management seminar in San Antonio. We would do Friday all-day seminars, and we were experimenting with that particular seminar, and I had one person come. And the second person came about 2 hours late, and we looked at them, and they said, now you know why I'm here, because they needed a lot of help with time management. But I did that seminar, that all-day seminar, like as if the classroom was filled. Then many years later, I was in Zimbabwe, and I was doing a time management seminar. I think I had about 175 people. And it occurred to me that I could do the 175 people because I had done it when there were two people. And so that's what I mean by the fact that God set me free from the numbers. And so I watch all my social media numbers, should I say religiously or faithfully, but I don't obsess over them or the results. I'm always trying, why was that more popular than this? What was it? Was it just the day I put it was up? Was it the people who saw it? Or was there some theme that I didn't think was very significant or profound, but people did? And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So if they're eating my pudding, I don't want to say, well, you shouldn't be eating that. You should be eating this. I like this a lot better. No, if that's what God's using to speak to people, then I want to pay attention to that. At the same time, I don't want to be a slave to that. You know, well, the people don't listen to this. They only listen to that, so therefore I'm only going to give them that. No, sometimes the Spirit will have you say the this, even though at that moment people may not be ready to hear it, or they may not be in a position to hear it. And so anyway, that's kind of where I am lately with this particular aspect of my work and my ministry. So I'm going to be faithful to create a series of podcasts with or without guests, and I'm going to put them out there, and I'm going to trust that the Lord will pick them up and take them wherever He wants them to go. And if they don't go anywhere, really, that's fine with me. Well, the day that I am recording this, tonight I have my fifth of six classes on finding your life purpose. I've also included in these six classes one class on personality, which we cover tonight, and one class on spiritual gifts. And, you know, as I say that, I think I'm going to, the next podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit more about spiritual gifts. But tonight, that is class five, and I have 12 people in the class, and it's been a great opportunity to connect with them. Some of them I know, some of them I have met for the first time. Also, very busy publishing. Sent a request off for a proof book today for one of our authors. Should be ready to do another one by Friday. And so it's very busy, and I've got three books that I still want to publish. Four books that are in the docket for me to get out by the end of the year, in addition to the other projects. So I'm having a great time publishing. A lot of work editing. A lot of tedious work, but God helps me, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as He empowers me. Now, I talked earlier about social media. I mentioned it earlier in the broadcast, and now talking about publishing and putting things out there. And so one of the things I did write or rewrite or expand this year is my book, Changing the Way We Do Church. I wrote this first in 2009, and can you imagine it didn't have any much in it about technology or social media. Now, because in 2009, I was just a couple of years into technology and using it. I think I'd been utilizing my Facebook page for about 2 years. I had been writing my Monday memo for many years, for 8 years, and sending it out as a blog. So I had some experience, but I didn't put much in the book. Well, last year, I really felt impressed that I was supposed to expand this book, but I couldn't get to it. It was like I was pulling a piano through sand. Every time I tried to do it, it just wouldn't go anywhere. Well, lo and behold, to 2020, we have a pandemic. And can you imagine putting a book out that talks about changing the way we do church, and it wouldn't mention anything about the current worldwide crisis or the impact of it on church as I understand it? And so then I understood why the hesitation. And when I started to put it together in March, it came together, and about 2 months ago, it is put out there with, and it is it's about 50% bigger than what it was in 2009, because in the 2009 version, I have 7 steps to a purposeful reformation. I've added 8th step to this one, and the 8th step is the 3rd section. And what is step 8? It is utilize technology and social media not as an afterthought or sideshow, but rather as something equal importance to face-to-face ministry. And if you're familiar with me on social media, you know that I have been a vocal proponent of the church, the body of Christ, doing more with technology than has been done. Doing it not just as an attachment to live face-to-face ministry, but allowing the technology to take on a life and a shape of its own. And to that end, I recommend in the book that every church should appoint an online pastor that is not subject to the what I'm going to call the senior face-to-face pastor, because my experience is the face-to-face ministry will always get most of the attention, and if the online starts to have life, there will be a sort of jealousy toward it, and it will be cannibalized. It will be dismantled for parts. How can we make that a part of the face-to-face? But you know, even with the face-to-face, I think there's a whole lot more we could do with technology. I have been a proponent of using some means for people to text during the service to raise questions, to take the last 5 minutes of a message and answer those questions. And any of the questions that can't be answered, tell people, join me tonight on social media, on Facebook Live, and we'll address these questions. So that's how I think and how I'm thinking this online pastor would shape the ministry and take who the church is as the people of God and put it out there for the world to see. Now, having said that, let me just read you an excerpt out of one of my chapters. This is chapter 15, and it's called Technology and the Amish. And if you know anything about the American Amish, the Pennsylvania Dutch people, you will know that when I say the Amish and technology, that's an oxymoron because they don't use technology. They don't believe in technology. You say, oh, you know, what is that? If you're not from the United States, what does that mean? Well, that means they don't drive cars. They drive horse and buggy still. That when their son gets married, their ideal is to buy him 40 acres and a mule so he can be a farmer with his family. Now, they've run out of land, so they've had to do some adjustments there, but the Amish don't use technology. And so, and I have made the point over the years that if we don't use technology properly and increasingly become alienated from it or hostile towards it, we're going to become cultural Amish. We're going to be so out of touch with the mainstream that we won't have any relevance. And I know when I use the word relevance, that raises red flags with people because the church shouldn't be relevant. It should be the depository of truth. We're not here to adjust just to what the culture wants, and I agree with that. At the same time, I don't think the technology is this what culture wants. I think this is how God has positioned it for this day and for this hour. So let me read you my section. It's only a couple pages. Technology. Since I continually use the word technology, it would be good to define the term before we proceed. I don't want to get too technical, pardon the pun. So let's go with one definition I found on the internet, a great example of the use of technology. Science or knowledge put into practical use to solve problems or invent useful tools. Now another definition, which is longer, is technology is a body of knowledge. Is a body of knowledge devoted to creating tools, processing actions, and the extracting of materials. The term technology is wide, and everyone has their way of understanding its meaning. We use technology to accomplish various tasks in our daily lives. In brief, we can describe technology as products and processes used to simplify our daily lives. We use technology to extend our abilities, making people the most crucial part of any technological system. You know, during the pandemic, we had to buy a new refrigerator. And this refrigerator, I mean, does everything but cook our food. But that's I never thought of a refrigerator as technology. Now there are a lot of new technology in the refrigerator. It gives me the temperature. You know, it does a lot of amazing things. But the whole entity was technology. Now, this isn't what I wrote in the book. I'm just digressing here for a minute. Let me get back. I have found that we tend to label something technology if it is new in our lifetime, while taking older technology for granted. For example, we would probably not consider a refrigerator as technology unless it has some of the newer features now available, like an ice maker or an automatic temperature control that prevents opening the freezer if the temperature in the freezer is above a certain level. Yet at one time, that refrigerator represented a technological advance over an icebox. Therefore, someone born before social media sees it as technology, but someone who was born after social media may not see it as technology, just a means of communication. This is important because we must look back on the ministry of Paul to see that he used the technology of his day to spread his gospel. He did not categorize what he used as technology because he was accustomed to its existence, and we probably wouldn't look at it as technology either. For example, Paul wrote letters to the churches he founded. That's an example of technology. He used pen, ink, and paper, or papyrus scrolls. Then he sent those letters with carriers who traveled on Roman roads or through Roman sea lanes, both of which were technological advances. When Paul wrote to a region, he ordered his letters to be read in all the area churches, so in a sense, he ordered his messages to go viral. Today we read Paul's letters because of technology. 1,400 years after Paul wrote, a man named Gutenberg invented the printing press, and suddenly books could be copied not by hand, but by a machine someone operated. Eventually, people could own their own Bibles, whereas before, they could only access a copy that had been transcribed by hand, the same way Paul had written with pen, ink, and paper, which was technology. As explorers set out to discover the world, the technological tools of travel improved, and that eventually connected people all over the world. That connection continued as new forms of technology emerged, things like the telegraph, the telephone, radio, television, cassettes, iPods, CDs, DVDs, smartphones, now the internet. Excuse this quite cursory, simplistic overview of 2,000 years of technological history, but the points I'm trying to make are these. Number one, the technological advances have been God's will, for they have contributed to his desire that people exercise dominion over the earth. Number two, the church has always used the technology of the day for its own purposes of disseminating the gospel and training the followers of Jesus. Now, you may not like how some radio or television preachers or evangelists have used the technology, but you cannot deny technology has been utilized in many other situations for good. The same is true for the internet. There's tremendous evil and misinformation in cyberspace, but there is a wealth of valuable information that has been and can be used for good as well. This phenomenon has led to this generation being the best informed group of people in the history of the world, and perhaps the least socialized, at least in the Western world. People are glued to their smartphones, and some young people would rather text than talk. Also, the shallow, frivolous use of social media has alienated some and prevented them from seeing how social media can be used beyond informing friends and followers that I am in the mall, or just got my hair cut, or where can I buy the cheapest tires for my car. Enough of the philosophical aspects of a theology. Is there a biblical basis or mandate to use technology for ministry purposes, perhaps even for church meetings? Let's look at that. Let's take a look in the next chapter. Now, I close out that chapter with some of these questions, and I'll leave these for you to think. What impressed you most from this chapter's material? What changes will what you learned make in your approach to technology? How will you evaluate your personal use of social media based on the material in this chapter? How would you evaluate your church's use of social media based on the material in this chapter? And am I overstating the problem or its consequences with the spiritual Amish analogy? Why or why not? Now, I just wanted to read those because in the book, Changing the Way We Do Church, which has, I want to say, 16, 17 chapters. I'm in the appendix. There's the epilogue. 16, 17 chapters. At the end of every chapter, I put four or five questions for pondering or for discussion because I want the reader to think about these things. Now, that's the final third of the book is on technology. The first two sections talk about our need for an upgrade of our leadership philosophy and a refocus of the church less on what we think should be happening, the basic standard operation of the church, like children's ministry and the like, and looking more to the people in a church, seeing what God has gifted them to do and shaping ministries around who we have, as opposed to every church basically having the same menu of ministries. And so I outline what I think would need to happen in those sections for that to occur. But the third section is strictly on technology, social media, a theology of both, and an appeal for the church to take it much more seriously and not just an afterthought. So that's all I wanted to talk to you today about. And so just the I will be back again soon. We'll talk about spiritual gifts. And then as I'm talking, I think I'm going to come back and go on to the next chapter where we talk more about a theology of technology and social media and communications. So and we'll throw broadcasting in there too. So anyway, let me just make those notes here. We're going to do gifts. And then we're going to do theology of technology. Never talk about doing something unless you're willing to write it down and follow through. That is my philosophy and advice. At any rate, John Stanko, your host, signing off for this podcast. Hope you it stirred up some thoughts that you had not had before, and I just encourage you to, in your own personal life, to develop a theology and a philosophy of communication and social media so that you can use it to share with others what God is doing in your life, what he is teaching you, so it can benefit them. Until we're together again, this is John Stanko, your host, signing off, encouraging you to be about the work of purpose in your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.